B-Pod Studios.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
You gotta love a story that begins with the words, fluids leaking from a decomposing body.
Oh, love it.
Oh, dear God.
Upstairs have forced health officials to close a Connecticut restaurant.
Didn't I do a joke about this years ago?
Raining Blanche.
It's Raining Blanche.
That's right.
Hallelujah, it's Raining Blanche.
So this dead body was dripping into the restaurant.
Excuse me, there's a dead body in my soup.
Police were called to the Siam Corner Thai Kitchen and Faux Restaurant on May 29th for reports of a foul odor and a reddish-brown liquid dripping from the ceiling of the restaurant behind the front counter.
Mm. Who eats at a place called a faux restaurant?
Well, pho is a dish, P-H-O.
Oh, I'm sorry. And
in fact, it's not even pronounced that way.
It's pho.
Is it pho?
Yeah.
Okay. So police say that they entered the apartment above the restaurant through an unlocked window and found the tenant's body in his bed.
Oh, my God.
They said he had been dead for several days.
How did that... It had to be a nuclear stink permeating the building.
Police say no foul play is suspected. They have not released the man's name, and the health department says the restaurant remains closed,
Preston,
at this time.
We had a dead field mouse in our green room for a while, and the stench was overwhelming. Mm-hmm. A full body decomposing, liquefying.
Well, don't blame Howard's Pizza if your dinner was late Sunday afternoon. According to police, a man allegedly made off with a running pizza delivery truck around 4:30 in the afternoon and took it for a joyride through town. Isaac Leo Wells is charged with felony theft, misdemeanor driving without a valid license. A Howard's Pizza employee reported to police that someone had stolen his running delivery truck. The truck contained his phone, and the pizza oven mounted in the truck was full of pizzas ready for delivery.
I love those trucks.
As officers began searching the area, Howard's received a call complaining of a pizza truck driving recklessly nearly striking the caller's vehicle. A second caller had checked in a report that he had seen a male ditch a Howard's pizza truck and jump into an Oldsmobile with four other passengers. A few minutes later, the car was located. A Howard's Pizza box was found on the ground next to it. Police talked to the car's passengers, who indicated that the group was just hanging out at that location when Wells showed up in the pizza truck. Wells gave the group a pizza, and everybody ate it and enjoyed it. And then he asked one of the group to follow him to somewhere that he could ditch the truck.
God.
A search of the Oldsmobile produced the key to the pizza truck and the cell phone belonging to the Howard's employee, both located near where Wells had been seated in the car. When police attempted to interview Wells, he reportedly became hostile. The officer said that as Wells was yelling obscenities at him, he detected the odor of alcohol on his breath.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, that all makes sense.
Well, as tall as the towers of London Bridge, New Delhi's Ghazipur landfill continues to grow at a startling pace. Within a year, it is set to rise higher than the Taj Mahal, one of the country's most iconic monuments. Nicknamed Mount Everest by locals, the expansive pile of fetid matter is already more than 65 meters. That's 213 feet tall.
How are they achieving that height?
Listen to this. As India's Supreme Court recently warned, it's well overdue for aircraft warning lights. That's how high this is.
Oh, my God.
When it first opened in 1984, this was never the intention. By 2002, the landfill had reached a capacity of 20 meters and should have been closed. Now, today, the 21 million people living in New Delhi rely mainly on this ever-growing monstrosity and two other landfills, all of which hit maximum volume at least a decade ago. About 2,000 tons of garbage is dumped at this location each day. Not only is a huge expanse of garbage an eyesore, it's also a hazard on multiple occasions. They have tried and failed to shut it down. Last year, the complacency of officials turned fatal. Two locals were killed in a landslide after a section of the mountain collapsed.
So, by the way, President, like in places like Fishkill in Staten Island, where they have these big dumps, they have to have these pipes to remove the methane gas that builds up underneath.
Yeah.
I mean, these things can explode.
U.S. Environmental Protection Agency actually was called in to take a look at it, and they found subsurface fires, smoke emissions from the surface of the waste, animal scavenging waste, and informal sector waste recyclers were all observed during the site visit. And the closure only lasted a few days, and then they opened it right back up again. But it needs light to warn the aircraft.
Oh, my God.
That's how big it is. It's a mountain.
Might be time to open up, I don't know, a fifth one.
Yeah. An 81-year-old bicyclist is suing San Luis Obispo Regional Airport and the county after he says he was blown off his recumbent bicycle by the engine blast of a departing jet.
I probably would have laughed if I had seen that.
A complaint filed in the Superior Court Friday alleges that Ross Pepper was one of the group of riders who were struck forcibly by the blast from an aircraft preparing to depart from the southeastern corner of the runway.
Well, I was on my ergonomic recumbent bicycle when this jet passed over and vaunted me into the air.
The lawsuit does not pinpoint precisely
I spilled my latte
where the incident occurred, but it states that Pepper was riding with a group of 14 other cyclists while passing the airport. The lead group of about 8 riders were knocked onto the ground and into the roadway in the way of oncoming traffic by the jet engine blast. The gust knocked Pepper, who was riding a recumbent bike, to the ground and spun his body and bike 180 degrees and onto the pavement of Highway 227 in the southbound lane of traffic, causing him severe injuries and damaging his bike and property.
So those jets are obviously, when they slam them on, they're super powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Like in the movie Casino Royale, they show a couple of police cars get blown over and lifted up.
Yeah.
Do you think that's accurate? There's enough, because you're lifting up a jetliner, you would assume, yeah?
No, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Remember at St. Martin? People would stand at the edge of that runway at the fence and get blown into the water.
Somebody got severely hurt.
Somebody got killed.
Yeah, yeah.
And they had to be more restrictive on people being allowed to be there.
93.3 WMMR. Audio on demand.
BackstageCountry.com. Your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's the Bizarre File Podcast.
A woman got stuck inside of a children's toy car and had to be cut out with a bread knife.
Oh, there's a video of this, right?
Yep. 34-year-old Zoe Archibald from Scotland, by the way, was at a family function when she climbed into her one-year-old cousin's red and yellow little tyke's car as a joke, and then she couldn't get out of the car. Archibald was stuck in the car for about an hour before her father, Kevin, used a bread knife to get her out of the car.
And she's panicking.
Her nephew, Matthew, who taped the ordeal, said there was no way that she could get herself out. She was in there for an hour. We had to cut the back off of the car to get her out. No matter what we did, she was not able to get out. Everyone found it funny, even Zoe, he added. She was a bit panicked, but mainly found it funny. And it was just a joke. Her dad had to cut her out, and the only thing we could find was a bread knife. And it took 15 minutes to cut through the plastic to get her out of there. The two guys who used a hammer to try and smash their way into the Daytona spy shop would not rate highly on a list of criminal masterminds.
Don't you think a spy shop would be well covered with surveillance equipment?
That's exactly what they said. A camera was pointed right at the two men at about 1 a.m. Sunday as one of them swung a hammer against a window 56 times. It shattered, but the special glass it was made of held together. So they kept hitting it and hitting it over and over and over 56 times.
Why not try to rob a safe shop?
The shop's security video shows the two men wearing hoodies and masks trying to bust their way in. One of them wielded the hammer, slamming it repeatedly against the window. He smashed at it from the side. He smashed at it overhand. Then the would-be burglars appeared to walk away, only to return for another try. The one with the hammer hit the window a few more times before giving up for good. The window, made of polymer and glass, is designed to resist hurricanes and, as the video shows, hammer attacks as well. A massive search. Did you guys see this story? Is underway in Northern California for a longtime automotive rider.
Yes.
Mysteriously disappeared while on a motorcycle trip near the Sierra Mountains. He was actually trying out a motorcycle for the magazine. They recovered nearly all of his belongings, including his motorcycle, but they have no idea where he is. Johnson's girlfriend says that he had been on the road test driving it for an assignment when he went missing on Wednesday last week.
Yeah.
I believe now a team of 45 people, 6 dogs, 2 boats, and a helicopter, even more by the time this story was written. That's what the search party was. Jocelyn Tropp says her boyfriend is known for being adventurous, but it's completely out of character for him to disappear for this long. They found the motorcycle, his helmet and gloves and everything folded up and neatly set aside, and he's missing.
So, and again, from that, you would think he had done that and perhaps gone to do something or, you know, who knows?
Yeah.
I just hope that he is living with a family of Sasquatches.
Yeah, and the next day, his clothing, cell phone, and laptop were found by a river about 50 feet away. His wallet is still missing, and they're still looking for that guy. I just thought that was
very scary. Out of the ordinary.
A man was arrested in early morning hours Saturday after Austin police say he struck two police horses and two mounted officers after an officer told him to stop peeing in public. Luis Flores was arrested and charged with interference with police service animal, a Class A misdemeanor. An officer responded on foot to an officer urgently requesting backup. When he arrived on the scene, he found five APD mounted officers on their horses, two of them detaining Flores by holding his arms. And according to one of the mounted officers, while riding, he observed Flores peeing in public and told him to stop. He didn't, and instead began cursing the officers, saying in the affidavit that the officer moved, or I'm sorry, then the officer had moved closer to tell him again to stop. Flores finished, and when mounted officers arrived, he punched the officer's horse in the head with his hand.
If you punch a police horse, isn't that equivalent to, don't they say it's like punching a police, it's like punching a police officer.
Yeah, it happened right after Villanova, right?
This is a misdemeanor, by the way. So,
okay.
But anyhow, to try and punch a horse in the head?
Okay, so there's a great story. There used to be, I forget who the cowboy star was, who was supposedly, there was a horse acting up, and he punched it, knocked it out. They parodied it in Blazing Saddles. Well, the actor David Janssen, who was in the original Fugitive series, he got drunk one time, and he was on a movie set. He got off the horse, went around, balled up his fist, punched it, and broke every bone in his hand. The horse didn't even flinch.
Of course.
It's a skull like the size of a car.
And it's an 1,800-pound
animal. Yeah, yeah.
You know, he's gonna beat you every time. All right, and then we'll do one more story, and we will wrap it up. There's a zombie snake that was found in North Carolina called the Eastern Hognose Snake, and it's famous for being able to flip over on its back and play dead.
Like a possum.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
According to the North Carolina State Parks and Recreation, when threatened, the non-venomous snake will feign death by opening its mouth, rolling over on its back, and writhing around.
That's a great novelty snake.
If it gets turned back on its belly, the snake will immediately roll over and play dead again. The species will also spread its neck like a cobra and hiss, which has earned them the nickname of Puff Adder and Spreading Adder. While the snakes rarely bite, they repeatedly strike if under threat. And according to the Savannah River Ecology Laboratory of the University of Georgia, the hognose, which can grow up to about 4 feet in length, is found in the eastern part of the U.S. from Florida up to New England. So that means
we have them here.
They're around here somewhere, the puff adders. But I didn't know that.
Maybe that's what our bear was eating while it was on the loose.
I didn't know they could play dead like that.
No.
I thought that was kind of interesting and worthy of being included into the Bizarre File.
Thanks for listening to Preston and Steve's Bizarre File podcast. Go to PrestonandSteve.com, click on demand for full show podcasts, and to subscribe so you never miss an episode.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.